God, you are so good to us. You are a gracious God who is all loving. You don't give us what we deserve, you give us the exact opposite. And this morning, as we seek you through your word, I pray you reveal yourself to us as you promised. And that revealing motivates us and moves us to be the children that you have called us to be, that you created us to be, for your glory, for your honor, for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I have to say before I start this morning that this sermon is for me. As I started preparing for this, I realized as the Spirit was speaking to me, he was speaking to me. And so join me, but I'm going to say things, and I know who one of the bigger audiences is this morning, and it's myself. Because the messages that we get from the book of Jeremiah are rather hard, but filled with hope. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Go to chapter 29, and we'll go backwards and forwards from this point here in Jeremiah. I want to say that there are three things that the Spirit just basically slapped me across the face with this week. Okay, so three lessons that I learned. One is God's plans versus my or our plans. Jeremiah, like I said, is a hard book. A book that's filled with hope but difficult. In its pages, we find God convicting his people of their sin. They're wandering away from him, their adulterous nature. While Jeremiah stresses God fulfilling his promise of judgment on the Israelites for their wandering hearts and for breaking covenant, it also, more importantly, stresses God's determination and plan to restore his remnant people and all those who come to him by establishing a new covenant, a covenant of hope and a future. That's our key verse today. Look at this. Chapter 29, we'll start here in verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, or shalom, peace, and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and come to me and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This passage, we all know this passage, right? I imagine that some of you have in your homes things up on your walls or little things sitting on your tables that has this scripture on there. For I know the plans that I have for you. The interesting thing about this particular passage, you guys, is that we often misuse it. I want us to realize what this is saying to that group of people as it was written to, and also how it speaks to us. First, look at the context of this. God is talking to the people of Israel, not to individuals. He's talking to his children. So why is that a big deal? Because he's sending them into exile, not individuals, his people. His people who were sinful and wandering and adulterous. Look at verse 10 here. Verse 10 says this, for thus saith the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you the promise and bring you back to this place. How many years? Come on, how many years? 70 years. 70 years. He just promised them, I am sending you into exile to these places for suffering and pain for 70 years. How does that make you feel? What if God told you he'll restore everything for you and bring you back to the place that he created and wanted you to be, but it's going to be in 70 years? How would you feel? Do you feel warm fuzzies about this passage right now? We love this passage. We quote it all the time. But before it said, I'm telling you, you're going for 70 years for what you've done. Would you remain faithful? Would you even be alive? And knowing that you might not be alive in 70 years, would you remain faithful to him? Are you patient and willing to wait on the Lord? Whew, isn't that hard? That hit me. So the second thing in here is these plans are God's plans, not ours. We like to take this passage and make it say that whatever I plan, God will make come true. Is that how it works? We often think that that's what God, as long as we make the plan and that we're semi-faithful to God, we come on Sunday mornings and do our church thing, that he'll make our plans come true. All of our wildest expectations. Is that what this is saying? God is addressing here his plan to save his people. That's his plan. That plan, brothers and sisters, may actually mean that you will endure suffering to make it come true. Suffering in order to accomplish the will and plan of God. Are you willing to endure suffering so that God's plan succeeds? Are you willing to conform your will to his will? When Jesus prayed the prayer in Gethsemane, what did he know was about to happen? His death. And he asked God, if it is your will, take it away from me. Please let this cup pass from me. But if it's not your will, yours be done, not mine. Jeremiah himself knew this very well, did he not? When we go to, flip back, hold your hand there. Go back to chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. God commissions his prophet. And he says this, verse 4 of chapter 1 and following. Now the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I made you holy and set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations, not just to the Jews, but to all the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God. Anybody ever felt these feelings right here? I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. And the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. Why? For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. In chapter 10, turn over a few pages, chapter 10, verse 23 and 24, Jeremiah says this, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but in justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. You know what that's saying? You know what Jeremiah is saying there? He goes, I know I can't take a step alone without you. And I know that I need to ask you not to do it in anger because that's what I deserve. Please carefully direct my steps so that my steps, every single one of them, step by step, will honor and glorify you and only conform to your will. He understood that. Do you? Do I? Or do I look to direct my own steps and just ask God to bless them? Do I look to make my own plans and ask God to baptize them with his holy fire? Because I want my way. The way we know if our plans are ours or if they're God's is very simple. Who do they honor? Who do they glorify? And when you're sitting and making choices, some of you thinking about where you want to go to college or are planning on where you want to go or the choice of job that you want to have or the promotion you want to take, you know if it's yours or if it's his. Because the choice to glorify him, even when it may not be the best school or the best job or the best environment, you can know and rest assured that he will bless that. But when it is yours, you'll know that too. Because you're just looking to get the better house and the better career, and the better opportunity. And we can bless, and we can put it all in this nice little veil. It's the best thing for my family. You ever heard that before? Have you ever spoken it? You will know if it is for him or if it's for you. Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. What we do is we assume that that means God will make our plans happen. That's a misunderstanding of that passage too. What we feel like is we just have to tell God our plans. And then when it doesn't happen, what do? We get upset, don't we? You didn't do what I asked you to do, God, so you must not exist. You must not be there. We forget what these passages are saying. What we miss in this passage in Proverbs 16 is it says, commit all you do to him. Commit everything, all your possessions, who you are, your decisions, where you want to go, what you want to do to him, and then your plans will what? Succeed. They will be established. Why? Because they're no longer your plans. They have joined with his. You no longer see your plans. You only see that which honors him. And that's where it's hard for us. Because in that moment, we choose who our God is. Chapter 16, verse 9 of Proverbs, just a few verses down from 3, says this, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And in 19:21, it says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. God's plans, everybody hear this, God's plans will happen in spite of you. I hate to tell you. The world will still turn in spite of you. We like to think that the world is this, or we are this, okay? And that the world does this. It does not. God's plans will happen. If everything in our life seems to be going wrong and nothing seems to be going right, his plan will still happen. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with it? But you may ask, so what's his plans? What am I committing myself to? Verse 11 tells you, of 29, verse 11 says this, for I know the plans I have for you. I know them. I knew them before I even created you, from before time began, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, shalom, peace, not for evil, to give you what? Hope in a future. Hope in a future. Though suffering and bad things may happen to us, that is not God's plan for you. Instead, God's plans are for our peace. That was not his plan from the beginning for evil to come into this world. We brought that in. He didn't. Instead, God's plan is to save us, restore us, and bring us hope and a future. That's the God we serve, isn't it? Look at chapter 23 here. Chapter 23, verses 3 through 6. Man, this is awesome stuff. We read this morning. I want to look at it again. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock, my people, out of the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply, the Great Commission. I will set shepherds over them who actually care for them, and they shall no more fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. That's the God we serve. That's the God who loves us. He wants to save us from ourselves, because he loves his children and will remain faithful to us even when we don't. You don't believe me? Go over to 31. Man, I'd love to take a long time on Jeremiah, by the way. But look at 31 here. 31, verse 3. The Lord appeared to him from far away, and this is what he said. And he's speaking to his people. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. What kind of love does God have for us? Everlasting. You cannot change his love. You can't do something so wrong that God will ever stop loving you. And in that, he will remain faithful to you till time's end and beyond. That's the God we serve. And he loves us that much. That everlasting love is what has kept us from what our sins and wandering has deserved. If he didn't love us that way, we would be what? What's the punishment of sin? Death. We would be dead. We would no longer exist. But we are sitting and standing here today because God loves you. No other reason. That everlasting love is our hope and future. And it's the only thing we should put our hope and future on. Period. God often puts us in wilderness and exile times so that we may be reminded of who he is and what his ultimate desire for us is. Wilderness times are not bad times. They're not pleasant, but they're not bad. His very in those times, we either run to him or away from him. We either seek him or we call him into question. Are we faithful to him and patient? Are we seeking to discover how we might honor him in the midst of the wilderness experience? In the exile, are you saying to him by your actions and the way you respond to life that he is God and you're not? Is everything speaking that? That brings us to our next point. So I learned his plans versus my plans. And then, am I willing to seek him and wait for him? 70 years, you guys. 70 years. God knew his people would call on him during that time. He said it. Then from there, in that 70-year period, then you will come to me and pray to me, and you will seek me, and what will happen? You'll find me. If you seek me with what? All your heart. No halvesies, no kind ofs. With everything, you come and seek me, and you will find me. And then he speaks this word, declares the Lord. If it's declared by the Lord, will it happen? Absolutely. There is nothing that will thwart that. And here's the deal. It did happen. The book of Lamentations tells us that. By the way, Lamentations is not a bad book. We think, oh my goodness, Lamentations. Lamentations actually is a book full of hope, because in the midst of that 70-year exile is where we get the Lamentations. These questions of how long, oh Lord, and what is taking place. But in it, we find hope. Don't believe me? Go to Lamentations 3. Keep your mark there in 29, but go to Lamentations 3. Over. And as you're turning to Lamentations 3, a few pages forward, I want to stop here in Lamentations 2 and read this. Verse 17, the Lord has done what he purposed. He has carried out his word, which he commanded long ago. The moment, the stuff that they're enduring as Lamentations is being written is what he promised. It came to pass. They shouldn't be surprised. He promised this. Now look, and we're going to kind of survey chapter 3 of Lamentations here. But I want you to just gather the hope here. Starts off, verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath, of God's wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. Feel the warm fuzzies kind of building up in there. Listen, look at this, verse 8. Though I call and cry for help, what does he do? He shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. How do you feel? Has anyone felt that ever in your life? Have you ever felt that? That you felt like God was no longer hearing your prayers, that you felt like stones were blocking your way, that you couldn't go any further, that your path seemed crooked, not straight. Remember this passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Most of you know this. Trust in the Lord. Trust in who? The Lord, not yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and what will he do? Make your path straight. They stopped acknowledging the God of the universe who created all things. And what did he do? Crooked paths. But you turn back to me with all your heart, knowing that the path may have suffering in front of you. I will make your path straight. It will be clear. You will know the way, and I will be with you every step. I will never leave you alone. In verse 17 of chapter 3, he says this, my soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. Now, back in 29, he said, my plan for you is to bring you peace. But Jeremiah, or whoever the writer is here, felt no peace. I have forgotten what happiness or goodness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. I'm done. So has my hope from the Lord. Anybody ever felt that way? Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But listen, please circle, underline, highlight this in your Bibles, please. Do something instead of just listening to me. Right. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have what? Hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new, how often? Every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him and in nothing else. The Lord is good to those who wait for him in long 70 years. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Look over in verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not afflict from his heart. He doesn't want to do this. Like a parent not wanting to spank and discipline their child, it hurts the parent. Or grieve the children of men. Verse 37, who has spoken and it came to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Why should a living man complain, a man without about the punishment of his sins? Why do we sit and complain for what we have done? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. But go over to verse 55. Here he says, I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. And by the way, if this is Jeremiah writing, was he ever in a pit? Yes, he was. From the depths of the pit, you heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. You have taken up my cause, O Lord, and you have what? Redeemed me. Redeemed my life. You have saved me. That's where our hope is. When we compare that to what he declared in chapter 29, he fulfilled his promises, didn't he? What I learned from this was God is looking for those who are fully committed to him. And this is how. Those who are willing to seek him with all their heart and soul. Nothing else in this life matters but him. Those who are willing to wait on him for their salvation and deliverance, to wait. Those who are willing to align their lives to his plans and not their own. And those who are passionate and devoted to rest on God and his love. That passion that burns within us. Have you ever burned from within? I can feel it. Have you ever burned from within for something? Have you burned within for this? for him? Or has it just been religion? Something that you're supposed to do and your ticket to heaven? What is it that burns within you that gives you life and makes you wake up in the morning? That's the third lesson. First was his plans versus mine. The second was to seek and wait for him. And the third is to have a burning heart. And this one convicted me the most. Jeremiah was given a very difficult message to bring to the Israelites, one that would not be received well. Look at this. If you turn back to 1, when we read his commission, then in verse 9, God says this: "Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth." I want you to envision the Great Commission. Jesus is putting out his hand and touching your mouth to go speak his word. How big of a deal is that? "And the Lord said this to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms,'" listen, "'to pluck up and break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.'" Woo, I get to go speak that message. Could you imagine being Jeremiah? Young guy, not confident in himself, and he's being told this? For proclaiming God's message, Jeremiah received death threats. He was conspired against and betrayed by his own family. He was beaten and put in stocks for a day. He was a laughing stock and a constant object of ridicule and mockery. He was arrested and lowered into a cistern where he sank into the mud and was not fed for days. You want to be Jeremiah? In spite of all this, Jeremiah remained true to his calling from God. He remained true. He wasn't perfect and he made mistakes, but he remained true. Though he may not have wanted to go through his trials, he was resolute in his desire to allow God to use him for God's glory and according to God's plan. Are you willing? Jeremiah 20, verse 9. A lot of us know this one. There's a slide for, I want to read this passage. 20, verse 9. Another one to circle in your Bibles. And actually, I'm going to start in verse 7 here. Because I want you to see, even in Jeremiah's sinfulness as a man, he still made a commitment. He says, "Oh Lord," verse 7, "you have deceived me, and I was deceived." He's telling God, "You deceived me. You didn't tell me what all this message was going to be. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. So you overwhelmed me with this message. I have become a laughing stock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, 'Violence and destruction!' For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long." The word did not bring Jeremiah good life. Did you hear what I just said? The word of the Lord through Jeremiah did not bring him a good life. The life he always wanted, as some books call it. The word of the Lord that you are to proclaim may not bring you a good life. Write it down. Are you still his? Will you remain true? Because in verse 9, Jeremiah made his decision no matter what. "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Has God's word ever burned in your heart so much so that there is no way you can keep from talking about it? And if the answer to that is you're sitting here going, "Well, no, not really," then you got to get a new heart. Or, and quite frankly, shut up or get out. And that's a hard thing, isn't it? Because God is not waiting for people to kind of say, "Well, yeah, kind of, sort of." He is calling for his children to return to his love and be the people he called them to be. And join him in his grace and his love and his mercy. And it will cause suffering and pain. And if you don't want that, then stop being the lukewarm people and just go. He wanted to vomit out the Laodiceans. And how many in this room right now might he want to vomit out? And that's what hit me, because I may have been one of them. And I may still be. But I don't want to be. Anybody else want to not be that? I want his His word just to be aflame within me. And when I'm with people, I can't stop talking about them, right? Have you ever been around someone like that? They're annoying. But you love them, don't you? I don't know if she's here right now. Where's Lynn Box? Just get around Lynn. For any period of time, I've been on multiple mission trips with her. That woman can't stop talking about God. Right? Amen? Why can't the rest of us? She would talk to a telephone pole. I may have caught her doing that, actually. I think about on the road to Emmaus, the two disciples are walking along. They're at a down state. They think all hope is lost. And who's walking beside them? And they don't know who he is. Jesus. And he speaks to them from the word, as the word, how the scriptures were fulfilled in him and for all time. And at the end of that, he what? He vanishes, right? He disappears. Jesus is good at doing that, right? He disappears, but this is what the passage says in Luke 24. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, Jesus. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Do your hearts burn? Do they? Does mine? Am I weary of holding it in? Are you? We must not be, we cannot allow it to stay within us. We cannot. This week, God taught me those three lessons. In a minute, our ushers are going to be coming down the aisles. They're going to be passing out something that's going to help us remember our commitments, our plans. But as they do that, I want to share these lessons once again with you. God taught me this week, and I hope he taught you too. But he taught me that I needed to know that God's plans should be my plans. That I must constantly test my plans to see if they are his or if they're mine. And how did we know? Who does it honor or glorify? Do they aid God in his plan to restore his children to himself? Or do they aid me in my plans to get me what I want and where I want to be? The second lesson was that I must constantly seek God with all my heart and soul, and I have to wait on him to fulfill his plan in my life. I have to be patient. Woo, patience. That requires me to have patience in God and to acknowledge that the momentary pain and suffering I incur along the way may actually be a part of his plan. Have you ever thought about that? That just maybe what you're enduring in the moment may be exactly what he needs to use to bring about his plan. Jesus knew it, and he did it. Can you? And the final one, that God's word and sharing it with others should be burning in my heart. Burning. It should be my passion and my desire, my total devotion, so much so that I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Indeed, I cannot. This morning we have made this our renewal Sunday for 15 and 15. We're halfway through the year, right? Halfway through the year. How have we been doing? As you look at these walls, we've now redone the sign-ups to let them pop out from the wall a little bit more and to remind us on a regular weekly basis about what we did, what we committed to join God in his plan and not our own. Guys, realize that what these are. When we made these commitments and signed these signatures, we were saying, God, all these things we see and we believe with all of our hearts are joined with you in your plan to redeem your people, and we want to join you there. How have you done with that? How have I done with it? In just a minute, I'm going to give you guys opportunity to go out to the walls and remind yourself. You're going to be, go ahead, guys, y'all can start passing those out. You're going to be handed out booklets that remind you of these that you can take home with you. The invitation this morning is going to be for everyone, and it always is, but this particular invitation is for us all to participate in, because it's going to be a way for us to remember. Have you guys remained true to your plans that have joined God in His? Or have your plans overshadowed God's plans? You know what's interesting to me, and I was talking to our discipleship team about this morning, is when we have our plans and we have God's plans and they're separated, which is the wrong thing, but when they are separated and times get busy, life gets rough, which plans go out the window first? In other words, everything that you signed up for on these walls, was that the first thing on your list to accomplish, or was it the last, and maybe you'll get it done if you have time? Or has this past year, or this half of the year, been an opportunity and you have renewed your commitment? You feel revitalized. You feel that burning heart within you because now you've recommitted yourself. You're seeking God on a regular basis and you want to be His daily. Either way, spending time to recommit yourself to God this morning is our plan. We want you to join God in His plan, to seek and wait on Him, and to have a burning heart by renewing ourselves for the commitments that we've made. We want you guys, as I allow us this time this morning, to move up out of your seat and to go to these walls. Remind yourself where your name is, because we've retyped all the names. They're all there. If you never got a chance to sign up, this is your chance to do it, right? Or you can stay in your seat this morning and read through and pray through these things. This is a chance for you to renew, to renew. So we're going to play here in just a minute. Ben's going to be playing some soft music for us during this time. We want it to be a reflective, contemplative time. Contemplate. Join God. Talk to Him. Use this time with Him. And then when things are over, and we're going to kind of pull things together before Bible class, Sammy's going to lead us in one last song to be a commitment song for us as a family. Can we do this? Can we remake this commitment? Can we join God, seek Him, wait on Him, and have burning hearts? That's the question in front of you this morning as we consider these ways. Ben, let's go ahead. I'm going to say a prayer, and then you can move and make all join God where you need to join Him, whether it's be in your seat or out at the walls. Let's pray. God, as we renew our commitments to You this morning, remembering what we have said that we want to do for You, so that we can give You space in our lives to do the greatest things. I pray we remember that this morning, and that we are motivated, that we go from this place with our plans being Yours, seeking You with all our heart, waiting on You to deliver us from evil, and have burning hearts to share Your word with those around us. We pray this prayer through Jesus' name. Amen. Spend this time.